Hello everyone, today's devotion is from Revelation chapter 9. Again, that's Revelation chapter 9, and I'll read that for us. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green plant, or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days, people will seek death, and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. In appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces, their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. The first woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still to come. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. And this is how I saw the horses in my vision and those who rode them. They wore breastplates the color of fire and of sapphire and of sulfur, and the heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents with heads, and by means of them they wound. The rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshipping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Amen. In yesterday's passage, we were introduced to the seven angels and the seven trumpets, of which we read about four of them. Each of these angels and their trumpets issued in different tribulations that draw from the imagery of the Exodus story. And the overarching message of these trumpets was to fiercely warn people and to draw them back to the Lord. Chapter 8 from yesterday ends with an eagle who flies overhead these tribulations and cries out about the next tribulations that are about to take place, saying, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow." That's how yesterday's chapter ended, and in today's passage, we read in continuation about the next two trumpets, the fifth and the sixth trumpets. The fifth is the releasing of these locust-like creatures, which many scholars say represent demons. These creatures are sent to inflict pain on people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, as it said in verse 4. There's so much turmoil here that it says in verse 6, "In those days people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them." The sixth trumpet issues the release of four angels and an army of mounted troops to destroy a portion of mankind. This is verse 15 and 16. Again, obviously, a time of great turmoil. But just like in the previous chapter, we continue to see this pattern of God using these tribulations to only inflict pain or destroy for a portion. The locust creatures are commanded not to kill, but only to inflict pain for 5 months. The four angels and the armies are set to destroy not all, but a third of mankind. Again, God is calling out to humanity, sending a fierce, unignorable warning, and then giving them a chance to repent, to turn away from their evil ways, and to turn to Him. We'll read more about how many actually do repent in later chapters, but today's passage ends with a different ending. Let me just read for us verse 20 until the end. It says, "The rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshipping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts." This is a sobering reality. The signs and warnings that cry out and point to the Lord will ultimately not be enough for many, and they will not turn to God. Many people, despite the definite warning signs, will not repent. In other words, they will choose to separate themselves from God and reject His extended hand. A warning siren sounded and a life raft thrown at them, but still they will perish by their own choice. And what's so sad is that the thing they will choose over God is, as John describes in verse 20, something that can't even see or hear or walk, something of no value or significance. This is the reality of the state of a fallen humanity. Pastor Barry, in his sermon this past Sunday, quoted from St. Augustine, and it says, "The essence of sin is disordered love." In other words, sin comes from loving things in the wrong order, placing things that shouldn't be above God, above God. This is exactly what we see here in this passage. People who, to their dying breath, will not let go of their disordered love, their love for themselves and for idols which can't see or hear or walk. For many of us listening to this devotion, perhaps we are Christian and we've given our lives to Christ and received His grace. For some, perhaps we haven't said yes to Jesus just yet. And if that's the case, I truly hope and pray that you do someday say yes to Him, perhaps today. But either way, when we've received Christ into our lives, of course there is grace. Although there will be times in our lives on this earth where we will have a disordered love, there is always grace waiting when we repent. But with this knowledge of grace, let us also not live unconcerned. There's an undeniable heaviness in this passage about those who do not repent. Let's not think lightly about that. But instead, constantly, day in and day out, let's cry out to God in repentance. Repentance of ourselves, and also to intercede on behalf of those who have yet to repent. So let's continue to face toward God's direction. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today, and we turn to You today. We ask for forgiveness because we turn away from You many times every day. Help us, Lord, to continually repent, to turn away from our own ways and to seek Your direction. We on our own we're fools, God, but still You show us grace, not just a pardon for our wrongdoing, but power through your Holy Spirit to even go as far as to do the work of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that you grant us opportunity to repent. What a gracious thing that is to be able to repent. May we turn to you again and again and again. Keep us within your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.